did this with the high school kids down at Sonora for FFA, and went through the whole interview, talked with the two girls, and I'd forgotten to turn the microphone on, and we had to do the whole thing over again. So I've got everything going, and it's going now. Let's see. It's nice to be here in the evening. It's not quite so hot here, and we're in the shade, surrounded by oaks, and closed in by some small rose bushes just off Lion Bald Mountain Road, and I can hear the cars in the background. There's a hydrangea, beautiful hydrangea there, and several other flowers. And I'm talking with Anna Powell at Summerland. You call your property Summerland here. How much total acreage do you have right here?
It's 7.5.
And then how much of that do you have cultivated or controlled, domesticated?
Approximately half of that.
Okay. And I'm always curious about the source of water. Where does your water come from?
We have three different methods of getting water on this property. We have a rainwater collection system. There's also an old system that comes off the old Sonora Creek, but the piping is broken up now, but you can see the remains of a fairly old system there coming right off the old Sonora Creek bed. And we also have a deep well that's the water table is very close at the bottom of the hill.
So you still have water right from the creek?
You know, I'm not really sure about that system. I think it predates the whole idea of water rights. It's fairly old. But I would think in an emergency it could be used.
And right where we're sitting, mostly flowers, but you have, I saw some fruit trees as I walked up, and you also have vegetables. What all are you growing here?
I have mainly my orchard going now. I have some 20 fruit trees, apples, pears, peaches. I have blackberries down there. In that first field will be all fruit. I have 6 mature fig trees that give lots of good mission figs every year. So the rest of that orchard will be filled in this year. We're on a 3 to 5 year development plan here at the farm. So the other side, the long field, is where we'll have the mules, the barn, and the vegetables. This garden that we're sitting in here is my personal garden as well as my experimental area.
Are you growing some vegetables for yourself now?
Oh, yes. I fill my freezer every year. I have for many years.
And what's your goal with the vegetables, the fruit trees? What's the goal?
We'd like to have a small CSA. That's community-supported agriculture, where a family can buy shares of the produce of the farm. And so right now we're working on how far we can take that in terms of our growing season here in California. Of course, we have 9 months of growing season, depending on what you're growing, but we'll be placing a greenhouse here on the other side of the garden to help us get starts. And we'd like to have something available for our members all year.
So the CSA, if I understand it correctly, is where you find customers in advance.
Yes.
And they, as you use the word stock, I believe, they buy into the garden
shares.
Shares at the beginning of the season, and then they receive vegetables and fruit as it develops. A good year, they'll receive a lot. if it's not such a good year, they won't receive as much.
That's true, and that's why diversity is very, very, very important, that we have built-in contingency plans for failures. This year, for example, was a terrible growing season. The weather was just very strange, as we all know, and so I'm learning what will grow regardless of the harshness of the environment, and, you know, certain things that I can absolutely count on and certain things I'm not sure of, and each season we take copious notes on what works and what doesn't, so we've developed a pretty good idea of how to give people a good variety to feed your family.
You mentioned earlier this is your experimental garden,
mm-hmm.
right here.
Yes.
So is that what you're referring to by experiment, to see what produces and what does not produce?
Yes, yes. There are several microclimates on this property because it does rise to the top of this very high hill back here, and it's terraced almost all the way up. For example, here I have artichokes that I was told vehemently by all of my gardening buddies would not, absolutely not, absolutely not grow here. However, in this part of the garden where the cool breeze from the creek comes off, there's a very cool zone right here. So on that level and the part of this level, it's very cool. And it mimics apparently a coastal environment because the artichokes did very well.
I've heard that from other people as well. Experts tell you you can't grow that here.
Very
and
true.
And then
mm-hmm.
maybe you should try it and find out for yourself.
Well,
That's
I often
wonderful.
Say, yeah, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission is my motto in life. And so I generally just don't tell people what I'm doing, and I just do it, and then they're very surprised when they come and see what's happening here.
I doubt that there are any other artichokes in the whole county.
You know, I've never seen anybody grow them.
What else have you got that's unique or unusual, or something that you're particularly happy about?
Well, I have a fondness for purple things. And you see it's a big theme in the garden. There's purple pots and purple tables and lots of things like that. So I like to grow unusual varieties of things. When I grow kohlrabi, it's purple. When I grow green beans, they're purple. If there's a purple version of it, I have it or I want it.
Aubergine?
Absolutely.
Well, It sounds like you're having a lot of fun with this.
I am, very much, yes.
I know it's a lot of work.
Yes.
Let's see. This is going to be one of those pauses that I edit out. How long have you... Let me start again. When did you start the garden, start producing? How long have you been... actually in production?
This area that we're sitting in now was bare dirt 2 years and 10 months ago. There was absolutely nothing in this space at all.
But you still have quite a bit to go. You said a
oh,
three
yes.
to 5 years.
Yes. Okay. We the orchard that I put in, about half of it in the beginning, is bearing fruit now. So with the additions this winter, the orchard will be fully functioning in 3 to 4 years. Having different varieties that come in different seasons, late peaches, early peaches, late cherries, early cherries. The vegetable area is a matter of plowing and figuring out what needs cages, because we do have varmints. We're out here, so... I grow tomatoes in cages in the ground, for example. And some things I'll use raised beds just to take it easy on my back, because I didn't start this when I was young.
farming's a young person's occupation.
Well, yes, that's what I'm told, but, you know.
You have to do what you enjoy.
Yeah.
Sure. Notice a few, it looks like,
Society garlic?
Garlic, that's, I couldn't,
yes.
couldn't think of it.
Yeah. That's what's and called society garlic, yeah.
And you have a few other herbs there?
I'm actually growing some redbud trees here, which is something else that I was told I couldn't really do, but there they are. And I just have some bedding plants and divisions here that I just haven't put in the landscape yet. I go back and forth a lot between flowers and food. It's a tough choice for me, it really is. But
why are you growing the redbud?
I'd like to put them in the back along the creek. Yeah. I have two redbuds along the driveway, and they were full of pods, so I see a seed, I plant it.
I would expect they would do well. It's a native plant.
Very much, yeah. And they're growing quite well. These are, the bigger ones are 2 years old, the smaller ones are a year old. So they're kind of a slow grower, but I think it'll be well worth having a, having them back in the back. You see it's really wild back there. But
have you signed people up yet for your CSA?
No. No, we're not there yet. We have some building of infrastructure, the greenhouse, the barn for the mules. This is a woman-powered, mule and donkey-powered farm. We don't have a big tractor or any heavy equipment. So as we design things, we're trying to keep our age in mind to make it make it as simple as possible. And our CSA will be, we'll deliver if people want that, but we'd really prefer that folks bring their families out here and bring their children so they can see where the food comes from and take what they like. And a big component for my mother and I is to help people learn. I know in my family, generations have lost the art of cooking from what's seasonal and what's in the garden and using what you have to use before the next season begins. And my family is a very old family, so my great-grandmother lived till I was 16, so she was my buddy, and her tiny yard in Jamestown had every kind of fruit you could ever want and 30 different kinds of roses, hence the 60-some varieties of roses that I grow now. She was quite famous for her garden, and we're Portuguese, and Portuguese people are pretty well known for planting every inch of space possible. So we're keeping that tradition alive and well here at Summerland.
Well, I've thought of two questions. One, being Portuguese, where's the wine grapes?
They're going to make a pergola in the front. We're getting there.
And the other question, well, my wife is Portuguese, so.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the mules.
Yes.
This occurred to me, this is very steep land right here.
Yes.
Is that the reason for the mules, or is it partly just because you like mules?
Well, the mules, my mother decided in her late 50s that she would become a mule skinner extraordinaire, and indeed she's done just exactly that. And so I was pulled into the orbit of the mule world, and they are amazing animals and so strong. So she has a small donkey named Becky, and we just rescued a mule named Samson, who was in near death. And so we're rehabilitating him with a shoer who's with him all the time in Nevada. Mm. And hopefully he will get well enough to come here and work on the farm.
That's really nice. It's really nice to... My grandfather had animals. He had mm-hmm. horses to work the farm.
Yes.
He never wanted a tractor. And I can, when I was 15, I didn't understand that. But by the time I was 20, mm-hmm. I began to understand that.
Yes.
It's nice to have animals if you don't need a tractor, if you can, if you're not farming to that degree.
On a large scale, right.
Yeah.
And a mule will never, a mule pulling a plow will never start a fire accidentally.
That's a good point, especially today.
Yes, and I've been thinking about that aspect of it more and more. And, you know, this is a lady-run farm, so we want tools here that we can capably use, repair, and lift. So.
And it's a lot easier to love a mule than it is to love a tractor.
Absolutely. And I love my lawn tractor very much. And she has a name and everything. Her name is Purdy because she's brand new and her red paint is very shiny.
Oh, boy.
But the other one was Bessie because she was serviceable but a little on the ugly side. So no offense to any Bessies out there. But the new one is Purdy and I love her dearly. But I don't use her out in the field in the summertime because it's just, you know, I just don't do that, so.
Well, I'll have to come back in a year and see the progress you've made. And it's pretty wild right now, but...
It is. Mm-hmm.
But you've also done a great deal. And I guess little by little you chip away at it and you eventually create what you have, what your goal is.
It's, you know, farming is, there's always an overwhelming amount of work in front of you, but you have to be zen about taking one step at a time and, you know, doing the things that feed your soul and feed the freezer and all of that and having balance. It's really important, so.
Well, gee, it's really nice. This is a nice place to be, especially here on a hot evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to be here in the shade, and it's nice to talk to you and hear about your dream here, and I'll look forward to coming back and seeing it next year.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll have to get my wife over here and...